guess what? It's Motivation Monday. And diehards, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome both your friends. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and Sales Manifesto. You are on Sell or Die Motivation Monday Live, and I'm joined by the lovely, the talented, the unbelievable
Jen Gluckow, author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Sell or Die.
Thank you for being our live guests, to our live listeners today, diehards.
We have lots of friends here.
Cool.
Wes, Glenn, Ron, Ken, Dan, Alex, Brian.
Damn.
I mean, is two Dam Bryans, here? Actually.
Is Dam here?
I mean,
damn. You know, damn is a three-syllable word if you live in the South. Damn.
And if you're watching us live, yeah, you may notice we have a live guest in the studio.
Yep. His name is Larry Binet. We're going to tell you more about him in a little while, but in the meantime, we're asking him to shut the hell up until we talk to each other.
welcome, and we mean it.
I like that welcome.
Mean it, swear to God. Larry is from the New York metropolitan area, and so he already knows everything. Anything we talk about today will just be a review for him.
Yeah, but he's here to help motivate you guys and inspire you guys for the week.
So how was the All-Star weekend, Jen?
What All-Star weekend? The one that was here.
Come on. We had Mark Eaton over at the house.
We did have some famous people here. It was pretty cool. It was fun.
How high up did you guys go with Mark Eaton? Like, well, where do you fall? Like, I got the picture with Mark. I go up to his chest, maybe.
Did we say don't talk yet?
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Gabrielle goes up to his waist. Okay. It's pretty funny.
We stood on chairs to make it, to where it was cool.
Yeah, and we met his wife, who's really, really a nice lady.
Way nicer than he ever married, that's for sure.
No, he's a cool dude. But
and for those
really
who
nice.
Are wondering what the hell any one of us are talking about, Mark Eaton is a basketball player.
Yes.
This is Charlotte,
Jazz.
North Carolina, and the NBA All-Star game was taking place this past weekend.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's
Thank you
Doug,
for that clarification.
Interpreting everything. Thank you.
And Mark was an All-Star 1 year, maybe 2 years, and that qualifies him for legendary status forever.
Yes, and he's very tall.
He's 7 feet four.
Yes. And he's a speaker and author,
too. Oh, yeah.
That is right. That is right. We had him on our show. We'll link it in the show notes so you can go back and listen to
him. Yeah, we'll link his book in there. We'll link his speaking, whatever.
Well, also his former episode, because he was on our show.
Yeah.
He talked about a winning team.
Yeah, and he's great. Just the nicest person. Well, not as nice as we are, but he's like a top 10 nice people. All right, top 20.
All right. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here. Jeffrey, do you want to introduce Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
Under normal circumstances, it'd just be me and you talking about getting ready for the sales week. But instead, we decided to get a ringer in the arena of networking today. Larry Binet is the CEO of Speakers and Authors Networking Group, otherwise known as SANG, where I have spoken once and met three very important people in my life. Larry lives his talk. It's a group of some of the most successful speakers and authors in the world. His firm, Larry Binet Consulting, provides hands-on training and professional introductions to thousands of high-value contacts across the globe. Diehards. Please say hello to the great, the connected, Larry Binet.
Thank you for having me.
Yo, it's a doggone pleasure. How was that for a funeral talk?
I don't know. We're going to have to work on that a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. I realize now I'm going to have to go write my own funeral talk, so just we'll...
Yeah, it's okay.
I'll do it in advance.
So when did you know that you had the gift for networking and connecting?
Well, you know what is interesting? If I look back in high school, I was on the tennis team and we were not really good. We were horrible, actually. But I was friends with the guys with the football team that were the state champions. But I was also I was able to connect with all the different I was on the yearbook committee, was able to connect with the nerdy types, the people that were probably doing drugs, even though I didn't do drugs. I was always able at a young age to find commonality or connect with them. And then when I went down to Florida State, I mean, I literally did not know anyone. And that was like a real eye-opener to not know anyone and how to connect there. And so just throughout my life, and then I think probably looking back now in terms of my career, I'd say in the late 1990s, I was in the sales industry as a sales guy for a company called the Gartner Group.
Mm-hmm.
And my clients were a lot of the who's who tech companies in the Southeast. And I got really good at just making strategic introductions. I know now what I was doing. I don't know if I necessarily could codify what I was doing then.
Well, let's put it this way. You may not have known what your ultimate purpose was, but you were still being a nice guy. You're being Larry Benet.
Yeah.
And you're making friends with people on a regular basis.
But, yeah.
Often at a higher level than you.
Much higher. So, for example, some of these guys' net worths were hundreds of millions. Some were billionaires. But at the end of the day, I found back then maybe what their problems were, their needs or something. And I was – whether it was an article, an individual, another CEO, if the VP of sales needed another sales guy and I happened to know someone, I was making introductions. And that was in the late 1990s when I was with the Gartner Group.
So let's get this straight for the Jews that are out there.
Yes.
You were a Yenta.
Yes.
A business Yenta.
I love it.
A male Yenta.
Doug wants to chime in.
Well, okay. So you mentioned that you made strategic introductions. What's the difference between a strategic introduction and maybe just a regular introduction?
Yeah, so – I remember there was one company that was killing it on an e-commerce play back in the late 1990s. Their stock was doing incredibly well. Yet this other guy that used to be worth a couple hundred million dollars, his stock was tanking and he was like literally depressed. It was the first time I'd ever met the guy. And I said, you know what? Let me make an introduction for you that I think would be very beneficial for you. He's gone through similar things. He's turned the company around and they're doing great. And literally that – set them up for lunch and then that guy ended up on the other guy's board of directors. So from a strategic standpoint, can you solve a problem? Can you make an introduction to somebody that could be of high value? As a matter of fact, we'll talk more about this, but you guys mentioned in the car there was someone that you guys wanted to meet yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make that introduction that those people happen to be billionaires, very high profile, very well-known, famous company that most people would know. And both the husband and the wife are both iconic in my opinion.
If you're a Jen fan, you know who they are.
So.
Cool. That's
so
cool.
So, okay. How do you do it? Like, what can our diehards do if there are
how do you meet somebody that your fantasy meet?
So I just want to understand the question. How does someone meet someone who they...
Well, let me give you my experience.
Okay.
Larry had invited me for 5 years to speak for free at his group called Sang. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to speak for free. It's bullshit. So finally, I agree. And literally the other times that I turned him down, I did have other gigs. So it wasn't like I'm doing nothing and twiddling my thumbs. But I go to California. I am literally paying my own way for everything. My own hotel room, my own – he pays nobody a damn dime. Mm-hmm. At that meeting, I hooked up with our online platform people that I don't want to mention their name because I don't like them anymore. But it was good for me. I had a great relationship with Jay Abraham, who is a top one marketeer. And his introduction to me was he came over to thank me for making his book a bestseller because I had put him out on my email. So immediately we're connected. And then I'm walking out of my talk and I meet Brendan Burchard.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I'm Brendan Burchard. I go, yeah, I know. He says, I just want to let you know I'm a big fan of yours. I said, fuck, I've hated you. So now and we have a 3-hour dinner.
Mm.
And we formed a friendship all based on Larry and 4 or 5 other people who I met that I'm still connected with at the event who were significant in terms of buying books of mine or getting me a speaking engagement. It just happened. And I was just totally blown away by Larry's ability to connect Mr. A and Mr. B or Ms. A and Mr. B. Whatever it was valuable and it was genuine. There was no bullshit.
I love that. So I'm going to ask my question that's related to that, which is how do you make those connections and what can our diehards do to create those strategic connections?
So let's just break it down and let's talk about, you know, so you said you came to speak for at Sang. So at the end of the day, we set that up as a peer-to-peer group, Tony Robbins to the owner of the Golden State Warriors to Tony Shea, some really incredible people.
You invited these people and they showed up.
Now, Tony paid his own way. Tony doesn't pay his way to anything. Here's the reason why though, okay? The only reason why is there was so much strategic value in that room because of their peer group that could, you know, Peter Guber, for example, owner of the Golden State, I can't afford his private jet travel for 30 hours from where he was to come to my event. But I made strategic introductions to people like yourself or Brendan Burchard or others that had mass influence and that can drive his book to the top of the New York Times, which is what happened. But if I broke it down well before that, there was a guy named Chet Holmes who wrote the book The Ultimate Sales Machine.
Yep.
So when I didn't even know him, reached out to him. He was speaking at an event for Harv Eker years ago. And I must have either asked him or his assistant, can I get a few minutes of your time? Can we have dinner? So we had dinner. And at that dinner, I said to him, and this is probably going back 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I says, you know, like, what's most important to you? And he says, you know, if I had a call center worth its salt with salespeople that could actually sell, he goes, I could literally scale my company. Now, keep in mind, at that time, I really didn't have like the exact relationship that he wanted, but I made a mental note. He also mentioned it was important to him for his daughter to pursue her music career.
How long ago was this?
Probably 10, 15 years ago.
Wow, it's amazing that he still remembers what was important.
What a guy.
Yeah. And anyway, so I happen to know Ken Craig and the creator of We Are the World. And I cold called Ken probably 15, 20 years ago when I wanted to raise money for a charity. And he's raised hundreds of millions. And so I said, hey, can I introduce you to this guy? He's a great businessman. His daughter's a singer. And Ken mentored his daughter. And then when Chet said he wanted to scale, all he needed was the right call center that could help. I started reaching out to my network and say, hey, who do you use for your call center, inbound, outbound, whatever? Who's the best? Who's the best? And I eventually got to a guy named Randy Garn, who's super connected as well. And he told me who he uses. And I said, hey, Chet, here's a resource for you. And I made the introduction. Even though I didn't know them, but I mm-hmm. reached out through my network to find it. And then Chet and I eventually started saying, and then we eventually had some amazing rock star people like yourself attend and come together. So it's all about literally breaking it down, finding out what's important to someone. Literally last night, I'm in the lobby of the Westin Hotel because of the NBA All-Star Weekend. I saw we went to this Legends brunch, which I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mark Eaton was there and others. And I saw a guy on the way out in the morning walking with Wolf Blitzer. And on the way out, I said hello to Wolf. I didn't know him, but I am a fan of his.
Nice Jewish boy.
Yeah, nice Jewish boy. And what I said to him, if I tactically break it down, I complimented him. Hey, I really love your work. Congratulations. By the way, do you still stay in touch with Larry King? He said a little bit, you know, I know Larry a little bit, you know, and I said, do you ever get to Nate and Al's? Because I knew that's where Larry goes. Anyway, so I was trying to make a connection there. And then I transitioned. I said, I noticed that do you like basketball? Because obviously, not only are you here, but I think I saw you here last year. He goes, oh, I love basketball. So we talked a little bit about that. And then I transitioned. Hey, do you do any speaking or hosting of panels? Because obviously you're quite amazing. Because I don't do much speaking. I love to do it. I have to get everything cleared through CNN. I said, if I could ever refer you a speech or a hosting gig, how would I follow up with you? I'm sure these people have people that work. He literally gives me his personal card, right? And as a matter of fact, I also literally – and I'm trying to show you the tactics as well. I'm in the restroom yesterday at the Westin lobby. A guy walks in with a beautiful jacket. All I did is I compliment him on his jacket. True, authentic compliment. Where did you get it? He goes, in Atlanta. Oh, like I said, I used to live in Atlanta. So we walk out of the restroom. He's lived in Atlanta.
You
I lived in Atlanta.
Hands.
I washed my hands first. Okay. Yes. Soaped it up.
The important stuff.
Made sure I soaped it up. But anyway, we walk out and I kind of just asked him a little about himself, and he was in film finance. He told me he retired early. He's a young – I mean, I'm looking at him. He's a very young guy, African-American. One thing leads to another. We're having a conversation talking about adding value. I find out he's got a book. So I basically said, hey, if you want, how about I just do a quick little interview with you? I said, a couple minutes. I'm going to post it on my social media, give him some social media love. He gave me a great quote, which I shared with you yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I think his uncle or somebody like very close to him just happens to be Dr. J. But as we're sitting in the lobby, in the door walks this guy, Andrew Salzman, who basically is the chief revenue officer for the Atlanta Hawks. This guy's a very successful entrepreneur in film finance. I'm like, hey, you should meet Andrew. If you ever need to entertain, he runs the building for all the concerts and all the Hawks and everything else. That's a good connection for both of them. So I took the time to showcase Andrew and who Andrew is. I always joke around, Andrew's the unofficial mayor of Atlanta. And then I introduced this guy who I just met and tried to explain who he was and how connected he was. And he knows Dr. J and all this stuff. So it all goes back to trying to add value and serve and make a difference to other people. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's another connection.
Cool.
Right there.
I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So in all of these interactions, Larry, it sounds like the time is a little compressed, because often when you're talking to important people, they don't have a lot of time. So you have
yes.
to get in a lot and a little. What should people not waste their time talking about with important people?
I think you want to get to the point pretty quickly. I mean, I met Richard Branson on a dance floor, let's call it 10 years ago.
You were dancing with Richard Branson?
No. I said he was on a dance floor. He was literally in the middle of two security people.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, he was at Sarah Blakely of Spanx, her charity benefit.
Oh, cool.
He's my most famous entrepreneur idol. I've always wanted to meet him. I knew he would be at this event because he was going to give her a check for her charity.
Yeah.
I literally researched Richard Branson for hours, article after article after article, and I asked myself a question. What's one thing I could say to him that would cause a second interaction?
I figured if
I have 10 seconds, that's about all I might have. And by the way, to go approach a guy on a dance floor with the band playing with 500 to 1,000 people is not the most ideal place, but I see him. I'm figuring this might be my shot. I don't know. But I was prepared, and I said to him, you and I have a mutual friend in Keith Ferrazzi. Keith, this years ago, was doing an event, closed door, for big-time CEOs around the environment and those that cared, that were socially conscious. So all I said to Richard is, hey, there's an event taking place that I know, because you care about the environment, because you're giving billions away, someone from Virgin should be there. Who might be the most appropriate person to follow up with? That's pretty much what I said. He gives me an email, okay? A week and a half, 2 weeks go by. I literally email saying, per Richard Branson, I met Richard at this charity event. He said, you are the most appropriate person to follow up with in regards to this. I just wanted to pass this along. To my utter shock and amazement, Richard responds back personally. By the way, it wasn't a Richard Branson email. So it was right?
Cool.
I was stunned. But I led with value.
Yeah.
And it was obviously something important enough for him to him give me his private personal email to follow up with. And obviously, I've stayed in touch over the years. Yeah.
Let's go back to Wolf Blitzer, because I think that's a classic example of what Larry is doing. He didn't say to Wolf Blitzer, I really love you. Can I have your email? Can I have your business card?
Right.
What he said was, I know you like to speak. If I find a speaking engagement, how would I connect with you? You're asking an obtuse question that is of value to Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Like shit, this guy could potentially find me. Here's my cell phone. Here's my driver's license. Here's my social security number.
Here's my bank account info.
Right. Because this guy might be able to provide me with a $20,000, $25,000 talk.
Mm-hmm.
And smart. That's not smart. That's fucking brilliant. And you have to look at it from the perspective of, when you're diehard, if you're with somebody who's a connection, you don't milk that person. You value that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't ask him, well, can I have your autograph? Can I meet you for lunch? Can I have 5 minutes of your time? Will you be my mentor? None of that shit.
Can I pick your brain?
Yeah.
Can
I pick your brain?
Oh, God. That's the worst.
That hurts.
Totally hurts. So what he said was, I think I can get you a speech. Give me your, how do I connect with you? He didn't say, give me your card.
No.
He said, how would I connect? What's the best way to connect with you? And he got what he wanted.
And it may not have even been, it could have been his manager. It could have been in his case, he happened to give me his card.
Yeah.
You know?
So Larry, you're in a space now where you're hanging out in places where these famous big shits are. But some of our diehards are not yet at that level. So how do they get there? Where do they even begin to start making those connections?
Where's the Find My Big Shit page?
So let me just take a – I just want to just share a couple things. First of all, I happen to be one of these people that is kind of a little introverted, but I've also learned to flex my extroverted muscle. Second of all, I have failed way more than I've succeeded. I was selectively outsourced. In 2007.
Selectively outsourced mean fired?
I was fired. I've been selectively.
That is such a term.
Selectively outsourced four different times in my life. The last time, April 1st, 2007. I thought it was like an April Fool's joke, and they're like, your services are no longer needed. And I said, well, can you at least tell me why you're letting me go? And they're saying, you're doing too much networking. And I said to my, I said, Lake, you guys hired me to go after chief marketing officer to Fortune 500 companies. You don't have a brand. How do you expect, what are you going to, you're going to cold call those guys and they want, oh, please come on in. So I would go to these events, try to meet somebody that can open a door so I can get to the right people.
Yeah.
So I just, and just so you know, when I started saying, had no money, I was broke. When I got let go, I was, I mean, absolutely had no money in the bank account. And for the most part, I didn't work for a major brand. I didn't work for a famous person where people, like sometimes you work for a famous person, so everyone wants to come to you. I had none of that. So I've had to build it the old fashioned way. So anyone that's listening, if you don't have money, you got to be more creative. You got to be more resourceful and you can do it. So let's just talk about it. I met the wealthiest person in the state of Maryland last night. Okay.
Woo!
In the lobby of the Westin. Anyone could have been at the lobby of the Westin, okay?
Correct.
I wasn't in a private room. Now, it just so happens I was intrigued. The guy was by himself. Now, I happened to notice earlier in the day he happened to be with Wolf Blitzer, but I didn't know who he was. I happened to go up to him, and I said, I apologize. Do you live in L.A.? I said, because you look very familiar. And he says, no, I live in Washington. And then I started to try to do the associate, like, what do you do? And he's
Jewish
like
Jewish geography.
I did. He actually was Jewish. I didn't realize this. Jewish geography. But so literally with this guy, I found out that he was in the real estate business. And then he says, well, I happen to be in I own a professional sports team in Washington. Well, there's only three professional sports teams, I think, in Washington. And then he says, well, I own the baseball team. And then I said, hey, do you know Frank Luntz? So Frank Luntz is a political pollster, a Jewish guy. But Frank happens to have the most unbelievable – we were talking about this yesterday – this mm-hmm. most incredible political memorabilia. Now, I figure if you're in the state's capital, you've got to know Frank Luntz. He goes, no. I'm like, really? I said, I'll have to introduce you. And then we started talking – then I was now – if you own a baseball team, there's a high chance you are incredibly high net worth. So then I started shifting and I'm like – like, what was your, like, lucky break? Or, like, did you ever think you'd own a baseball team? He's like, no. And then, I literally asked him, like, you know, what – I said, you have a book? He's like, no. I'm like, well, what do you want your legacy to be? You got kids? You got grandkids? And I started asking him. And then I said, hey, you know, what's the greatest lesson you learned? Because after my mom and dad, you know, passed, I wanted to go do a book called Lessons from Mom and Lessons from Dad. So now when I'm around successful people, I'm asking him, well, what's the greatest lesson you learned from your dad? And you know what he told me? He was like – my dad said, just do what you said, you know, follow through on your word, you know, be in, with integrity. And he goes, keep it simple. I was like, wow, that's great advice. I literally Googled the guy afterwards. Guy's the wealthiest guy in the state of Maryland. It owns a real estate empire, like holy cow. And he was so down to earth, so nice. He was by himself. And we had like a 15-minute conversation. So I said, you know, what's important to you from a business perspective? And he's telling me, he goes, I'm trying to get 5G technology in my stadium. And I'm like, what about getting like, you know, plug in from a fan experience? How about my cell phone goes dead? How about you have a charger underneath so I can just plug right in? He goes, that's a good idea. And I was giving him ideas. I said, are you open? Can I share one idea based on my observations? You have suite holders, right? They spend a lot of money. What if you connected them? What if you had a speaker series? I said, I know a lot of speakers. What if, or someone like me can come in and facilitate connecting the guys in the suite. These entrepreneurs are there to try to do business. You can't always control if you have a good year or a bad year, but you can control what kind of experience these entrepreneurs might have. And if they're getting business because they're going to your stadium,
they're going
to
keep going.
They're going to keep coming back.
Right.
And anyway, so we exchanged. He's like, hey, I love – he gave me his email. He goes, you should come out to a baseball game as my guest. And I'm going to – you know, here's the thing. I learned this from you years ago. You're like a genius. We talked about John Rulin about creative gift giving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you got to be memorable. I think you got to be unique. So when I go to these events, I dress. I have unique colorful sneakers. I have, you know, colorful sports jackets and stuff like that, to try to be a little memorable, to stand out. But then I want to follow up. I might send an oversized greeting card. I take photos with him. So I literally have his photo. I'll put the photo on the greeting card. When I send the email, my photo is going to be in the email with him. And I'll do this over and over and over until there's some kind of relationship. Because a guy like this probably meets a ton of people.
Right, of course.
So I'm going to follow up.
You know what, though? You never know. And the one thing that you might do for him might be the thing that he would – remember mm-hmm. and want to connect with you.
And I asked him, at this stage in your life, because he's probably in his 70s, I think he was 73, I said, what's on your bucket list? You know, we're talking. The other day, I'm waiting for my tickets at the NBA, just at the Ritz-Carlton. I'm waiting. I don't even know who the guy in front of me is. We're just having a conversation. And I guess I must have mentioned I was at the Grammys a week ago. And the guy says to me, he goes, I've always wanted to go to the Grammys. And he tells me about his two kids. His two kids live in L.A., work in Hollywood. And I said, listen, I happen to be pretty connected. And I said, Hollywood is a lot about who you know. Right. I said, I happen to be a top networking expert. I'm happy to give them my book, happy to provide some free stuff for them. He goes, oh, that'd be great. And then I said, listen, I can help make that Grammy dream of yours happen. I said, I'll make it happen for you next year. I said, my friend produces the Grammys. I know the people in the building. And turns out the guy's the owner, co-owner of the Boston Celtics.
Our diehards are now lining up for their ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what's cool about that story you just told us about the guy who owned the baseball team? You went so deep. I mean, you said it was a 15-minute conversation. Yeah. You're asking him about what he wants to be known for when he's dead. Like, what do you want your legacy to be? That's a huge question that you don't normally ask a stranger. And 15 minutes prior to that, he was a stranger.
One thing that Jeffrey does amazingly well, and I think I've done very well, I am a curious person.
Mm.
I don't care if you're homeless. By the way, when I got let go from my job, I literally had
what we call it?
Selectively outsourced. I literally had no idea what the heck I was going to do. But I was listening to Donald Trump one time at one of these Learning Annex events years ago.
I did one.
And I asked a question and I said, how do you handle adversity and pressure? And he answers. But the guy behind me says, Mr. Trump, what would you do if you lost all your money? And Trump at the time, you know, with The Apprentice and everything else and being Trump says, I'm gonna be rich. That's all there is to it. Next question. And for some reason, there was like a light bulb moment that went off. I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty good at building relationships. I can go build a relationship with a sales guy, a CEO, a homeless person, or a billionaire. It's the same blocking and tackling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm very curious. So just because the guy owns a baseball team, he's a person. He puts his pants on just like I do. What does he love to do? What's his passion?
Right.
What's his favorite cause and charity? Why does he support it? How did you get into baseball? How did you build an empire?
Not who's your favorite player.
Exactly.
And yeah. And by the way, with him, I don't follow the Washington Nationals. I'm just not that big a baseball fan. But
Harper's going to be a Philly.
So I said, I've met your coach before, and it turns out he's no longer the coach. But I met Matt Williams, who used to be the coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I do try to find some element of commonality quickly if we have a mutual friend or something I know, and then you kind of build on it from there.
How do you think being an introvert actually strengthens the connection and relationship?
So I've had to learn as an introvert, like it's easier for me to text or email. And by the way, in today's day and age, most people, if you even call someone, you mentioned if Harvey McKay calls, you'll take the call, right? And if I would take the call too. And I love Harvey. But the reality is most people are doing a lot of things via text, via email, via Instagram.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh.
Jeffrey picked up Harvey McKay's call during my best friend's wedding, during her father of the bride, when the father of the bride was giving his speech.
Oh my God,
hey,
Jeffrey, I can't believe you would do that.
I'm at a wedding, I have to call you back. And all my friends were looking at me like, what the fuck? So keep going.
The world has priorities.
I lost my train of thought with that one.
Okay, so you would pick up the phone, but sometimes it's easier to text or email.
Well, the reality is, so the person that you guys asked about, and I told you I would try to – not try. I will facilitate getting here on the podcast for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I look at say Jesse Itzler, who in my opinion is one of the five most fascinating people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I literally met him when I was doing a radio show, something similar to this. I didn't know who he was. He was in the green room. I was in the green room. But most of my communication, I was looking through my text messages and so he's on Instagram. Sometimes I just ask, what's your Instagram? Because sometimes if you're meeting a high profile person, they may not want to give you their cell phone. But if they have an Instagram, I'll follow.
And it's amazing they'll DM as if it's a text.
Yeah. So here's the thing. What I've learned, I'm just going to show you something. I was looking
connect on Insta.
Yeah. But I was looking at my Instagram and all the messages that I've sent them. By the way, I'd say not all the time. These guys do not always respond. They're always busy, right?
Yeah.
So I was going to show you something like this. So. Let's see. Where is it?
By the way, guys, while Larry's pulling that up, if you have questions for him about – even if it's a specific thing that you need help with around networking, Larry can help. So make sure you pop that in the chat.
And so I'm checking him out. It's B-E-N-E-T.
Yeah, it's Larry K. B-E-N-E-T. So check this out. So I've replied, and obviously you can see. So I, you know, way back when, August 5th, 2016, hey, yeah, congrats on all the amazing work you guys are doing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Then I said, you know, he must have did something. I said, Jay-Z, 50 Cent, Eminem, and Diddy have nothing on you. He's probably singing. He didn't respond. But I, you know, recently, about 2 months ago, he's literally on his Instagram talking about he's going for a colonoscopy. And he's talking on his Instagram with his wife, right?
Yeah, the billionaire Sarah,
right?
Yeah.
And it basically said, I have a squeaky, in his words, I have a squeaky clean colon. So what I did, I went to GoDaddy, I bought squeakyclean.com and I gifted it to him. And I'm like, hey, I bought this cool domain for you. Where do you want me to send it? And the craziest thing is I bought it for like $13 and then GoDaddy pops up and says, this domain is valued at $800. So if he wanted to, he could turn around right now.
Oh my God, I love that.
Not that he would, but I did.
He was really proud of his colon. I did see that all over Instagram.
Now check this out. So on November 16th, I don't know when this was, he actually must have went to some event. He actually wore a collared shirt. He never wears collared shirts.
Yeah.
So I said, Mazel Tov, and you look good in a collared shirt. He says, ha ha, thanks. So it's just a constant staying in touch. Sometimes they respond, sometimes they don't. There was a guy, if you look at a lot of these on Instagram in particular, it's interesting. Some of these big brand CMOs, if you try to get to them on email, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of in their emails. You go on their Instagram, they might have 1,000 or 2,000 people. They have four comments or two comments. And if you're the person that's commenting a lot, they're probably going to notice that over time.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to notice it on the first go-round.
And I notice it. You notice it. Yeah.
How much time do you spend staying in touch with someone or trying to keep up with staying in touch with them? And besides Instagram responding to their things, what if they're not on Instagram? What are some other good ways?
So there's the old – so here's – there's all – so there's email. There's the old-fashioned direct mail. There is
– do you actually like hand write people notes?
Yeah.
Cool.
So my goal this year is to send 3 personal notes every single day. I use a service called Send Out Cards where I can personalize the greeting card itself. So if there's a photo of me and them, I'll put it in there. If there's something that they've done, Peter Diamandis spoke at my Sang event. He's the founder of the XPRIZE, super connected guy. A couple of years ago, he was featured in Fortune magazine as one of the greatest leaders. Bill Clinton was on the cover. I photoshopped Bill Clinton off the cover and I put his face on top of Bill Clinton's.
Oh my God.
I love that.
And I sent it in a huge giant greeting card. Congratulations on being one of the top 100 leaders in the world.
Oh, wow.
And then I also texted it to him. He responded right away. So I try to use
That's good because if they respond, it means they're paying attention to their messages and it gives you an indicator of how to connect with them again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, some people may not respond on social media. So then you have to go figure out other ways in. I'm a big believer if you're creative and persistent in a nice way. You don't want to be a pushy person. You don't want to be the guy that says, "Oh my God, another time." Like so you got to be creative about it.
Yeah.
And there's just all sorts.
Giving a guy a URL is about as creative as
that's
it can get.
That's freaking awesome.
And it costs $14 or $8 or whatever the heck the thing cost. I don't know. Maybe the second year was the more expensive year. I only bought 1 year.
Cheap bastard.
So like, look. I said, look, I think you deserve to own the domain squeakycleancolon.com. Ha, yes. Anyway, so it's just all these little things. And obviously, you know, and the other thing, here's the thing anyone can do.
Yeah.
Write this down and go do it. Become a professional inviter. So you don't have to go to the NBA All-Star. You don't have to go to the Grammys or any of that. And I just, so I've worked my way up where I can be in those rooms. But let's say you have no money. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. You got a podcast?
Yep.
How about someone shares this podcast with, you know, people that they know, or clients or prospects? You ever do webinars?
Yeah, share this podcast.
They can share. They can invite someone to Jeffrey's podcast. They can invite them to a charity event.
I think you should be a guest on this show. I think you should do this, and then you make the connection.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
yep.
Like, for example, let's just say that what's your favorite cause in charity down in – I know you're telling me in Charlotte.
Thompson Children's Home.
Okay. I guarantee Thompson Children's Home has some form of charitable event in the year 2019.
Yes, they do.
What would it be?
I don't know.
They'll have some kind
of
dinner.
They'll have something.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Jeffrey, I asked him yesterday what his favorite cause in charity is, and that's what he told me. So now, can I – if I didn't know him – but I guarantee maybe it's in public or you've written about it, it's on social.
Have.
Could I not invite people that are in my network to that? because maybe you're going to be there or whatever. I want to give. I want to do something. That's how I met Larry King in the early days. He had a foundation, the Larry King Cardiac Foundation.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, literally, at the time, I didn't have enough money to go. You know what I did? I invited 10 people that had money, and I asked his son. I said, listen, if I can fill a table of 12 or 10, can I get a ticket? He says yes. That was the only way I could get in because I didn't have the money to get in.
But you knew people who could.
And I had people that knew. But listen, even if I didn't, I could be creative enough to be resourceful enough to make those things happen.
I love that.
Yeah. When Larry King used to advertise on Earl Pertnoy's – no, Earl used to advertise on Larry King's show. He was my mentor in the Slack shop in Miami.
Okay.
And Larry King got pulled off the air and all of Earl's commercials didn't run.
Okay.
Larry kept the money. So I said, I'm going to try to get on – Harvey's – McKay's going to try to get me on the Larry King show. And Earl goes, tell him he owes me $500.
That's funny.
Oh, man. I love that.
But what you're doing is the right thing. You invite people to meet one another.
Yeah.
And as a result of it, they feel the value. When I started speaking in Charlotte and I didn't have a lot of money, I'd speak at Rotary Clubs for free. They wouldn't pay anybody, but they'd give me an honorarium.
Yeah.
And I'd have them donate it to the Thompson Children's Home.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, they're getting checks from people and they go, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And within a year, I was on the board.
So let's talk about if you don't really have much money. You can go to local networking groups, sometimes many cases for free. Now, one thing that most people don't do, most people go into these rooms and they're pitching out their business cards. They're just 100% focused on them. Guess what? No one gives a shit most of the time.
Yeah.
So I think what you need to do is reverse engineers. Like, so you meet some – even though I ask you what you do. And so you're an author. You're a speaker. You're this. Who's a good customer for you? Who's your best strategic partner in case I can ever refer? Great. Boom, boom, boom. I'm walking around the room. You know, seven people later, I meet someone that might be good for you. I introduce them.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to go to seminars, that's exactly what I would do. That's how the connector moniker came. They were like, oh, Larry will connect you. but literally, like yesterday, if I'm in the lobby, I meet a guy in the bathroom because he had a – I complimented him on his jacket. And then it so happens someone from Atlanta walks in, so I introduce him. And then that guy, and as we're all getting to know each other, he goes, you're pretty connected. Let me introduce you to someone who's super connected that you should know.
I love it.
He introduces me to a black guy from Chicago, inner city Chicago. He works for one of the wealthiest guys in the world, direct report to Sheldon Adelson of Venetian. And he's one of his top guys in Macau. Every friggin' major celebrity over there goes through this guy. This guy's connected to Beyonce. He said every time Richard Branson comes to the States, he's normally – if he's at the Super Bowl, he's with me. I went on this guy's Instagram. I was like, holy cow, great connection.
That's awesome.
We swapped. But it was all – so like I'm doing – but like it was all happened organically. It wasn't like they know much about me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to create value right in real time. If it's possible.
And Larry doesn't say, can you please introduce me to so-and-so. He gets introduced – by the fact that he was a value provider.
Yeah.
And somebody's trying to think like, oh, wait, I know a guy.
Yeah.
And I'll get.
So my overarching philosophy is give first, always add value.
Cool.
Right? Now, eventually, I just think it's a better way of life. It's easier to get something. Let's say the Boston Celtics guy. Let's just say I actually wanted to go to the Celtics. I don't really have that much of an interest. But maybe one of my friends loves the Boston Celtics. If I can help his children be more successful in Hollywood by giving them my ebook, sharing this video, sharing this podcast, maybe making an introduction or inviting them to a party, not a big deal. Guess what? I tell you, you help someone's son, daughter, or grandchildren with a job or their health, it goes a long way. It's so much easier than saying, I walk up and say, I'm the greatest speaker in the world. I'm the greatest.
Exactly.
No one cares.
No one cares. No, they don't believe you.
How much time do you spend actually talking about yourself versus asking questions about them?
I'd say 95%.
Cool.
Asking questions, asking about them.
Yeah.
If I have no information about them, how am I going to possibly help them or connect with them?
Guys, that is a great mentality. I love that.
That's awesome. You don't even need to – this is how I've always done it. I wait until somebody says, what do you do? That's my key for that I'm allowed to speak about me.
Yeah.
Until then, it's all about them.
For sure.
Another great thing is to say, hey, so what's your story? Everyone has a story.
Oh, yeah. And they want to tell it.
Yeah. The homeless guy's got a story.
They want to tell it.
The military vet guy's got a story. Everyone's got a story.
Rachel, what's up? Anthony's here. What's up? Darren J. Two J's. Oh, wow. Dan,
the
guys.
The two J's. I have their multiple syrup whenever I can.
I should have been Facebook Live in this thing. Holy cow.
Well, you could share it.
Okay. Cool. I'll share it afterwards. Don't worry. That's a good idea.
All right. So, guys, it's our time to go. But, Larry, where can people find out more, get your ebook, all that jazz?
Let's see. If they just went to LarryBenet, BENET.com, I guess /ebook, they can get the ebook for free.
All right. We'll put that in the notes.
And by the way, here's the thing I'll do. If someone's commenting in your comments, I'll pick somebody over the next week. All they got to do is listen to this.
All right.
Share it. And comment. Greg. I'll spend a half hour with somebody for free. I get a lot of money anyway, or whatever. If I can help them in some way, all they got to do is comment. We'll pull someone and I'll help them.
Larry doesn't actually want your business card, but he will take your credit card number and say
American Express, Visa, MasterCard.
Right.
And
the expiration date.
Exactly.
Why don't you write in your favorite thing about this episode?
Yeah. What's the one takeaway? Write the one takeaway that you're going to go implement. And then I'll pick someone and help them in some way.
Wes just followed you on Facebook. Sean says, great show. Larry, thank you. Everyone's thanking you. This is awesome. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I need, by the way, Jeffrey Gittimer Instagram. I'm so close to 10,000 followers.
We need to get you over like 100,000.
I know. We're both close to 10,000, but we got to get there.
Can I just make one final parting comment? Yes. So like, let's just using this as an example. So you're someone who's iconic, who's had, 10 best-selling books?
15.
You have another 10 in you. Provided so much value for others. So if someone's watching or they're a fan of yours, the best thing they can do is help you not only get to 10,000, but get to, if there was someone that was able to help you get to 10 to 20 to 30, you're going to pay attention to who these
correct.
People are.
That's exactly correct.
And I know that you got people watching you right now that can help and do that. So you guys should all share, get other people to watch both Jen and Jaffrey and and myself, hopefully add a few ones.
Yeah, we just put your ebook
there you
in
go.
There. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah,
love
so.
It. All right, so coming up on Tuesday, tomorrow, we have Lee Sauls. He's going to show you how to differentiate yourself in business.
Lee is good.
He's really good.
Sales guy.
He's smart.
You'll really like him. He's very insightful to salespeople.
And then on Wednesday, we have another Seller Die Extra. And on Thursday, we have Greg Crumpton, who is here live in our studios, and he talks about the details of selling in the HVAC world. And then on Friday, we have our usual, not his favorite, best of, where he takes, not a takes, the best of clips from the week and pieces them all together for your one
and
shortcut
it's action,
show.
Action, action, actionable stuff.
Ron is buying URLs for other people this week. I love it.
Smart move. Most people, you know what I found?
GoDaddy, I want a referral fee on that.
Most people don't have their own name.com.
It's crazy. Yeah. Oh, these takeaways are great. I can't wait for you to choose someone. They're going to be very lucky.
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
We'll promote who they take away.
Thank you for being on our show, Larry. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there. First of all, I'm reminding you to thank everyone who helps you. So thank you, Larry. And thank you, Jen. And thank you, Doug. And thank you, Nada. And I'm reminding you, and thank you, Alex. And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.